Amen. You know, Sunday we started a message called The Mind Makeover. So what I'm going to be doing on Wednesday is going to be tying it in with Sundays. So tonight we're going to deal with two different mindsets tonight concerning that mind makeover. Amen. Amen. We won't be before you very long. We're just going to give you a good Holy Ghost jolt so you can go back home and bust the devil in the mouth. Amen. And walk in faith and walk in victory. Is that all right? Amen. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12 right quick. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be dealing with two different Bibles tonight on purpose. Romans chapter 12. Very, very familiar scripture. I'm going to just bring some things out to make it a little bit more meaningful to you. Amen. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now. You are the great teacher. Think through my mind and speak through my lips tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Look what it says here. It says, I beseech you. I want you to circle that word beseech, because I don't want you to ever forget this word ever again, okay? Circle this word beseech. This word beseech means to beg. It literally means to come alongside of and just implore, to grab you and say, listen, please, I need you to listen to me. I'm going to give you an example. Come here, son. Come here for a minute. Darren, come here for a minute. Okay, Darren represents every believer. Okay, look forward. He has his mind set, and Darren is making choices in life. This is all of us. This represents all of us making choices in life. Amen. Every day we wake up, we have decisions that we need to make. Amen. Okay. This scripture is telling us that as he's walking, start walking, this person is coming beside him and saying, please, listen to me. Listen to me. While he's making his choices, listen to me with all of your heart. You have to listen to me. He's almost begging this person, okay? Have you ever dealt with somebody in your life and you feel like you was begging them to make the right choice? Come on, somebody, say amen. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to give you kind of like a visual understanding of what this word means. It means to come alongside and plead with. Amen? So, I know we only did two words, but that's enough to go home on right there. I'm just messing around. Amen. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. Somebody say the mercy of God. My God, look at this. I want you to circle that Y-E there. In the English language is you. In the King James language is ye. I want you to circle that ye right there. That ye present what? Your body. Ye present your body. Now, this is talking about the real you. Somebody say the real me. Okay, the body isn't you. The body isn't me. The body is our earth suit. Somebody say my earth suit. Amen. In order for you to have legal access in planet Earth, you have to have an earth suit. Amen. Praise God. In order for God to come into the earth, he had to have an earth suit in the person of Jesus Christ. So you have to have an earth suit. But the real you is a spirit. Somebody say, I am a spirit. Now, we can't teach this enough. It's important because believers need to know, because the word says in Hebrews that the word of God has the ability to separate spirit from soul. A lot of people don't separate spirit from soul, and they don't even sanctify, separate spirit from soul from body. They just think, this is me. This is who I am. When this person dies, I die. This is me. But this is not you. This is your earth suit. Somebody say, this is my earth suit. So when he's saying that ye present your body, the ye he's talking about is the real you, the spirit that is made in the image and the likeness of God. The real you on the inside of this body, your human spirit. That's who you are. Say, I am a spirit made in the image and the likeness of God. And I have a soul which is composed of my mind, my emotion, and my will. And I live in a physical body. I live in a physical body. Amen. So when it's telling you that you present your body a living sacrifice, it's telling you that you have power over your body. You, the real you, the spirit you made in the image and likeness of God, you have power over your body. He said, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And be not conformed. Somebody say conform. To be conformed, it means to be fashioned together with. Circle that word conform. This is important because when he's telling you not to be conformed, he's specifically telling you not to be conformed to something. And he's telling you what not to be conformed to. He said, be not conformed to the world. Somebody say the world. Now, this word world literally means the system or the course. Sometimes it means the time spans or the ages. And you and I know that within every time span, we have what is called fads. I remember back, you know, when I was a kid, my mom and them, they used to wear pants with the bell bottoms. And then that thing went out and we jumped into straight legs. And now they got bell bottoms back out again. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Or y'all remember back in the day when I was in school, I was in the sixth grade. My shirt tail grandmother had an army friend by the name of Chuck. And he was a real army dude. And she asked him to give me a haircut. And that man cut my haircut. And I was in the sixth grade and fades wasn't even in, high top fades. And he squared my head like what is that guy called? Frankenstein. It was straight like this. And I went to school in the sixth grade and them kids just tore me up. They just beat me up. Amen. And I'm bringing this out for a reason because with every time span, you have fads within those time spans. So people who are controlled by their body or their sensory mechanisms or their sense realm, their what they can see, what they can taste, what they can touch, what they can smell, what they can hear. People who are controlled by that, somebody say my five senses. People who are controlled by their bodies, as the fads change, as the times change, as the system change, so they go. So the Apostle Paul is telling us here, do not be conformed together with fashioned by the world system. That means if the world system is going left, you and I should be going right. We got to be people that know how to go against the grain. Come on, somebody say amen. Against the grain. The world system is going sickness and disease and poverty and lack and all of this stuff like that. It amazes me in Matthew 24 when Jesus began to talk about, you know, the storms and the earthquakes and the wars and the rumors of war. He gave it real no real attention. He said, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. He said, but the end is not yet. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the earth as a witness. He didn't say this gospel. He said, this gospel of the kingdom, the rule and the reign of God. Amen. Somebody say amen. And the reason why Jesus could talk like that, sisters and brothers, is because of this right here. Because he violated time, space, and matter. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? He spoke to storms. He walked on water. Amen. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. So it didn't make him no never mind, if that's the right way to say it. I know that's not proper English, but he didn't give it no attention. So the Bible tells us you present your body a living sacrifice. That means every single day you make your body obey God. Because you have the power and you have the ability to make your body obey God. Are you catching this right here? See, we going somewhere with this right here. You say, tell your neighbor, say, I have power to make my body obey God. I remember Pastor Ely was teaching us, you know, something on the lines of this and something that just stood out to me years ago. This is years ago. And I do it all the time. Sometimes you just got to talk to your body. See, the mountain that you need to speak to ain't necessarily always that external thing that you're going to. Sometimes the mountain could be your body. And sometimes you got to lay down. If you're laying down and the Holy Ghost saying, get up and pray. Sometimes you got to say, body, get up. Come on, somebody say amen. You got to present your body. You got to put your body on display. Sometimes your body don't want to come to church. Come on, somebody say amen. Your body don't want to hear no word of God. Don't want to hear no big, tall, yellow guy get up there preaching and lecturing you. You don't want to hear that. Come on, somebody say, your body don't. Your body rather sit at home, eat some ice cream and Oreo cookies and watch Batman. That's what your body want to do. Amen. But the Bible says that you have to present your body. Now, everything that you're going through that might seem like an obstacle is really training ground, because when you present your body in the small things, what happens is that you begin to develop and you begin to build and you begin to secure yourself in the faith for the bigger things. Because, come on, somebody say amen. Just because you're not going through bigger things, there are other people who are going through them. Yeah. Amen. I told you a couple weeks ago that everybody's either going through something, coming out of something, or about to go through something. Everybody is in that realm right there. Amen. Somebody say amen. So sometimes you got to talk to your body. Now, what does this have to do with the mind? Watch this right here. And be not conformed. That means together with, fashioned by. That means don't be along with the, this is, can I just bring this out right here? You know how the devil gets you to follow the trends of the world system? It's how he do it. Most of the time he'll do it through your bloodline. Because a lot of us haven't allowed the word of God to separate us from bloodline. So if your blood, it's kind of like this right here. You know what I mean? Say you got a family reunion and everybody out doing what they do. Y'all come on, somebody say amen. You know what I mean? You don't went to church and you done built your Holy Ghost up for the last 4 months and you got that word in you, but you didn't allow that word to separate in areas that it needed to separate in. And what happens is that now the test comes. You at that family reunion or you're at that family function and everybody else is doing what? Y'all know what they're doing. I ain't even got to bring it up, but you know what they're doing. Amen. And now the test, you put there in the test. Are you going to present your body right now? Or are you going to please man rather than God? See, these little bitty things right here, ain't that you going to go to hell for that? See, God can't use people that are not vessels of honor, that have been meat for the master's use. The word meat is an old English word which means able. God wants us to be able. Somebody say able. And every little bitty thing that we go through, it grows and develops our ability in him. Amen? Because God got big things planned for us. Come on, talk to yourself. Say, he got something big for me. It's so big for me, I cannot allow myself to get out of control. I mean, it's big for me. I'm telling you, you know, my God, I'm just hearing the Holy Ghost. You know, we got the ability to sit there and paint a new picture of our life with the word of God. You can sit down and write the vision down, make it plain so that he that readeth it, the word readeth mean quire, call it. That means you can sit up and grab that paper no matter how bad it looks in your life and you can start calling things that be not as though they were. God has something big planned for your life. He said, but, somebody say, but. Whenever you see but in the English language, it means forget about everything else. But be ye transformed. Somebody say transformed. Now, anytime you see the word trance on the beginning of something, it is speaking of movement. Somebody say movement. So what he wants you to do is be moved from one particular thing to something else. He said be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now watch this. This is the true thing right here. You can be out there. You can have the most powerful experience of God's presence and God's life. And you just tear jerk. And you get up here and you come up to the altar. I'm not trying to be funny, y'all, but I'm just being real. You come to the altar and you raise your hands and we cry together with you and hug you. And we pray that prayer. Oh, Jesus, come into my life. I'm a dirty old rag with, you know, brown spots on it. God, just come and help me. You know, come into my life. Hey, somebody say amen. Amen. And guess what? What happens is that experience doesn't change you. What that experience does is it gets you in the door. What changes you is transformation by the renewing of your mind. That's why most Christians, they come up here and they keep coming back up here. And they keep coming back up here. Because what they're experiencing is this experience of, you know, God coming to my life. Have you ever seen people get saved 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 times? You don't need to get saved but once. Amen. See, you get born again here, but salvation is a process. Your mind has to be renewed to God's word. This is important because we're talking about a mind makeover over here. Because that stuff that I taught Sunday was deep and powerful. It was high and lofty and it was deep and bottomless. And for those who are walking in the flesh, you ain't going to be able to grab it. You're like, whoa, I can't understand that. I can't comprehend that. But see, God wants you to understand it and God wants you to comprehend it. Because trying times need tremendous people. Come on, say that one time. Say, trying times need tremendous people. See, we need some people that know how to call things that be not as though they were. We need people that know how to see people sick laying in a hospital bed and not be afraid, but lay your hands on them in front of the doctors, in front of the nurses, and curse sickness, curse disease, curse cancer. Come on, somebody say amen. We need people that believe the word of God. And our circumstances are developing us to believe the word of God. Amen. Your circumstance, that's why you can't cry about it. You got to treat your circumstance as your tool of development. That's what you got to treat it like. Because everybody is going through circumstances. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Is this good, y'all? Yeah. We gonna get here. He said, be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, transform means to be metamorphosized. You know, like a tadpole turns into a frog. A caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Amen. Praise God. Some of us look like tadpoles. Here you go. By the renewing. Somebody say renewing. The word renewing means to renovate. Somebody say renovate. See, when you renovate something, if you ever did any kind of carpentry work or renovation, you take out the old and you bring in the. See, God wants all the old out of there. How much do we want out of there? All of it. Somebody say all. He wants you transformed. He wants all of it out. Amen. I'm telling you. My God. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Turn it right quick. See, because. Amen. Holy Ghost spoke something to me Sunday, and he said to me, he's been telling me this for a while, you know, because sometimes after I get done ministering the word, sometimes, you know what I mean, the enemy tries to attack me because I'm like, Lord, was I too hard on him? Was I too hard on him? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you are a disciple maker. Because when the rubber meets the road, you want to be a disciple. You don't just want to be a follower. I used to tell the guys, if you didn't have nowhere to sleep, disciples sleep on the floor. Amen. You don't complain whether your bed don't work or not. The guys joke about it now in the van and Equivac. They're like, we disciples, we sleep on the floor. Amen. Am I telling the truth, Chef? Amen. Disciples sleep on the floor. Disciples eat Vienna sausages. Amen. You ain't got to have steak every day. Amen. Somebody say amen. See, disciples ain't concerned about all that stuff. Jesus said, when you go out, he said, here what I want you to do. Don't take no purse. Don't take no script. Don't take anything with you. Just go. Just go. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 12. I mean, Genesis chapter 12. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy what? Oh, y'all not there yet? Genesis 12. Y'all there? Because I want y'all to see it. Huh? Genesis 12. Y'all ready? Verse 1, you ready? He said, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy what? And from thy what? What does kindred mean? And from thy what? Unto a land that I will show you. Now, why did God tell him to get out of all of that mess? Because all of that mess was conforming him. It was developing in him a mindset and a image. That's why when Jesus was in the beginning part of his ministry, and they came to the door, his mother and his brothers, and what had happened was they said, your mother and your brothers are out there. And Jesus quickly responded and said, my mother and my brothers are those that do the will of my Father. He quickly separated his bloodline from God's call on his life. Now, why am I doing this right here? I told you because I'm a disciple maker. It's important. It's important because you got to be to the place in your life where you're not conformed, but you're rather transformed. If you're being conformed to everything that's around you, you'll never be transformed. You'll never be transformed. You'll never be transformed. God wants you to move from one image to another image. Amen. And how does he do this? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing, by the renovating of your mind. Somebody say the renewing of my mind. Why is that important? Read the rest of it. It says that you may what? Prove. This is Romans 12. I'm back there again. I'm sorry, y'all. That you may prove what is the good. Somebody say good. The acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now I'm going to say something because we've been on these two scriptures right here since I started. I'm going to say something. This is important right here. When I first started reading this scripture, I used to thought that I had a getaway will. Here's what I mean. Until I learned what this really meant. I thought that there's a good will, and then there's an acceptable will, and then there's a perfect will. As if to say God had, if you missed the perfect, well, you're over in the acceptable. And if you missed the acceptable, then you're over in the good. So I thought that I, you know, could get away with something. But as I got older and I began to mature, I began to find out that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And you cannot prove his good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Not three different wills. One will that is good, acceptable, and perfect. Here is God's will. God's will is God's word. God's word is God's will. There's no sideship. There's no purgatory, if you understand what I mean. Nobody understands. You catch what I'm saying? I didn't make it to heaven and I didn't go to hell, but there's purgatory. No, there's no such thing. There's good, acceptable, and perfect. That means his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Amen. Okay, that's the qualities of his will. But the Bible says that when I renovate my mind, I prove his will. Somebody say prove. This is why you got to study the Bible. Circle the word prove. The word prove literally means to allow. That means if I don't renovate my mind, I disallow God's will from happening. Are you catching this right here? See, God could call you to be the president of the United States, but you don't renew your mind and you'll never get there. God could call you to be the next Bill Gates or whatever. Not, I'm just making names. I'm just trying to show you something. The next Benny Hinn, the next Catherine Kuhlman. But if you don't renew your mind, you'll never get there. Had I not renewed my mind from the way I used to think 3 years ago, we wouldn't be here. You got to catch what I'm saying. At every level, you need to understand there is opposition called devils. And it requires you to have a superior mindset. What do I mean when I say superior mindset? You have to think above what the enemy is doing. You got to think the lofty thoughts of God in order to get yourself to the place God called you. If you don't think it, you'll never arrive there. If you don't think it, you'll never arrive there. If you don't think it, you'll never get there. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are a direct reflection of how we think. That's why we have to make our mind over. Amen. Somebody say amen. So we have to get up and we have to present our body. Make our bodies do what the word say do. Glory be to God. You know the spirit of God. I said, Lord, you know, I need some grace on this thing. I said this years ago. And this is how he helped me. You know, over there in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul is talking, you know, about what he did, his conversation with God, and how that something was just antagonizing him. Some theologians believe it was his eyesight that he couldn't see properly. He called it his thorn in his flesh. Whatever the case may be, he asked God to deliver him from it three times. And God said to him, he said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Here's how God got me out of this whole thing with presenting my body. When I take a step, his grace is with me. You need to understand, I'm going to help you something real simple tonight. The Holy Spirit ain't going to do it for you, because this is what we're going to talk about Sunday. I'm just prepping you for what we're talking about Sunday, so you got to be here, because I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, because he is the mind of Christ. Listen to this right here. The Holy Spirit will never do it for you. And that's the misconception we have in Christianity. We want God to do something for us, but Jesus done everything he's going to already do. Jesus put you in the same position that he was in when he was on planet Earth. He puts you in partnership with God. That's why the Apostle Paul said, you and I are co-laborers together with him. So if I ask Darren, Darren, come and help me move this podium. Darren's not going to come pick the podium up for me. He's going to grab a part of it, and I'm going to grab a part of it, and we're going to help each other. But what people are doing is they're asking God to help and they sitting back not doing nothing. So if you want to see grace start to work, say, Lord, help me, and then take a step, no matter how hard it is. And as you take that step of faith, that faith will access grace. Man, I'm trying to tell you something. That faith will access grace. So you have to, when you inquiring of the Lord to help you, and you know, Hebrews says this in chapter 4, it says that we should come boldly. Somebody say boldly. Confidently. Come on. And fearlessly before the throne of grace. Why is he telling us to come boldly, confidently, and fearlessly before the throne of grace? Because Romans 8 said there's no condemnation in Christ. God know who you are before you came to him. The whole fact is that he wants you to come to him. My God. See, people who operate in a sense realm, they run from God. But people who walk in the spirit, no matter what it look like, they run to God. Are you catching what I'm saying? See, there was one person in this city, said to me, and y'all heard me say this before, it was an actual pastor. He said, they told us, you told people over there they can be drinking and stuff and come to church. I said, no, I didn't say that, but I did say that. No, I didn't say that, but I did say that. So you got to be careful when you relay people messages, because you mess it all up. See, I'm under the anointing up here, and the Spirit of God is talking through me. It ain't me talking, it's the Spirit of God talking through me. Amen, because I've deposited his word in me to the point where, amen, he can speak through me. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So here's what I said, that I don't care what you did the night before, don't run from God. Run to God. I'd rather you be here smelling like a bucket of Hennessy. I'd rather you be here running to God. Amen. Because guess what? You're giving God the opportunity to change you. Come on, somebody catch what I'm saying. Amen. 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 God is so good. So the Bible tells us, come boldly, confidently, and fearless before the throne of grace. The throne of grace, the throne of grace. What is grace? God's power, God's unmerited favor, God's unearned favor, God's undeserved favor. Not based upon what you do, just come. Just come based upon what he did. And guess what he said? You receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. So you'll never experience God's helping hand unless you say, Lord, help. And when you cry out and say, Lord, help, you do something. Lord, help me go to church, get myself up out of bed. Lord, help me get up in the morning and pray. Yeah. Man. Because your body don't want to pray. You know your body don't want to pray. Yeah. Your body wants some Fruit Loops in the morning. Your body don't want to pray. Amen. I never want to pray. My body never wants to pray. The Bible says that Jesus said this right here. He said, you need to pray lest you enter into temptation. He said, the spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. He's letting you know that you got to get up and you got to say, you know what? No matter what I feel like, Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you. I glorify you. Amen. Come on, somebody. Write this down. Walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit, they are both mindsets. They are a mindset. Amen. Anybody on the time schedule tonight? Can I finish at 8:30? Amen. Because I feel good. I love doing what I'm doing. I'm telling you, I just love this right here. I was born for this. I was born to do this. Praise God in heaven. Look at Romans chapter 8. I want you to see something here. Two different mindsets, because I'm just preparing you. Listen, I'm preparing you for kingdom. I'm telling you, my God, you know what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He said, I wanted to speak some things that were spiritual to you. He said, but I couldn't because your body ruled. Your body. Now, I'm not saying anybody in here's body ruled, because I decree we are the most powerful, anointed, kingdom, tongue-talking, Bible-toting, word-confessing believers on this side of heaven. Amen? And that's what I'm believing. But what I'm trying to show you here is that your test will show you where you are. Amen. And do you know what? No matter how bad you feel about it, this is funny. No matter how bad you feel about it, God, he loves you right there in the middle of all your pain, all your test, all your trial, all your error, all your faults. He just loves you. He loves you. He's like, okay, you are, wipe the snot. Come, okay, yep. Wipe it on off. Oh, come on, get on up. Come on, let's go. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when you rode the training wheel. I don't know if y'all ever rode the training wheel, but I rode the training wheel in Detroit, and I was going down Faust Street when I was a kid, and I had like one training wheel because I was ghetto with it, and my bike was riding like this down the street, and my stepfather was out there. He was a body man working on the car, and I was like, boom, 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 hit the ground. Go, he said, boy, get up and put some dirt in it and get back on that bike and go. Have your parents ever told you put some dirt in it? I ain't figured that out yet. I think he read the Bible and said they was made out of the dust of the ground. So I guess when you got like stabbed in your stomach, just dig a handful of dirt and I guess you're going to be fixed. All right. Amen. He was a funny guy, though. Amen. They didn't even say, get up and put some dirt in it. I mean, you've been going through H-E double hockey sticks and somebody just tell you, get up and put some dirt in it. Amen. Help us, Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh, they do what? They do mind. The word do mind, that means they set their affections on things that are fleshy. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So you need to know when he's writing this, he's letting you know that there are people that mind the flesh and there are people that mind the spirit. Kingdom people mind the spirit. They mind. They purposely, hear me, they purposely set their mind on things that are spiritual. They don't wait for God to do it. They do it. They've read the word, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, he that hath this hope in here purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I'm trying to show you the kind of power you got. If you want the grace to work by faith, start accessing it. Yeah. Hear what I mean? By faith, start accessing it. When you see a step of obedience in God's word that you need to take, just take it. You want to see? I'm just going to be real with you. This is powerful, right? You want to see grace work in your money? I've watched grace work for this church. My wife can testify. I've watched grace work for this ministry. I've watched even beyond the natural provision that looks like we have. I've watched God open up doors that were way bigger than we physically could be able to do. I've watched him do it every time. You know how I do it? By faith. Amen. You get it? Listen. Can I be a real pastor to y'all? You know, I wrote a couple of tithe checks for our church, you know what I mean? And some of them bounced. Now listen, I'm not a bad pastor. Things happen, some of them bounce. So I said, okay, devil, I'm about to fix you. Watch how this is going to work. Now, this is powerful. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to be vulnerable to you. I said, I'm going to go and get a cashier's check. And I'm going to pull it out directly from now on. Until I train myself, because sometimes things happen that will hinder you. Amen. Don't nobody look at me like they're holier than thou. Come on. Sometimes things happen. So hear what I do. I go grab a cashier's check, pull it out, boom, Bill Winston Ministries. I'm just trying to show you what we do. You see what I'm saying? And send it out. And me and my wife be sitting there sometime. My wife don't even know. I be sitting there confessing the word, sweating. I'm being honest, not knowing what's going to go on, not knowing how this is going to happen. The next thing you know, boom, the grace start working. And I stand back and I cry and say, God, thank you so much. Every single time. I'm trying to show you something. Because that's why the Bible said in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve God and money. Because money is the closest thing to omnipotence, and it's the furthermost thing that hinders people from serving God. So you got to pass that money test. I'm trying to show you something. Now, why am I talking about this right here? You know what I mean? You got to get to the place in your life where you say, you know what, I'm going to honor God no matter what the light bills say, no matter what the gas bills say, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what the rent say, no matter, because guess what? You'll never see grace work. Let me give grace a name. You'll never see Jesus work, because he is grace. You'll never see him work until you lose trust in yourself. I'm trying to show you something. When you get to the place where you say, Lord, here I am, this is me, I'm a mess and I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to obey your word. No matter what it looked like, now you've stepped into the arena of where he's going to step in and work on behalf of you. I promise you, I can promise you he'll work for you. Come on, somebody say amen. I've watched him. My God. Amen. I told y'all, the plumber guy told me, I just like give y'all examples. Plumber guy told me, he said, Pastor, this is going to cost about, he just said it real easy because he used to doing, Brother Bicey used to doing complexes and stuff, 50,000, 60,000, 100,000. One year we was in a ministry's meeting. He said, I made $1.5 million. I was sitting there like, glory to God. I was so poverty minded back then. When he said that, $1.5 million, I'm like, that's like ungodly or something. How do you, that was back then though. Now I realize it's just a number. It's just a figure. But when he said 6,500 to 8,500 just for the plumbing, and then the other guy told me 2,500 for the electrical, the first thing that came to my spirit was like, glory be to God. I smiled and looked at him. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I said, praise the Lord. And the Holy Ghost immediately, boom, just dropped it in me. He said, I specialize in doing big things with small groups. I'm just telling you what he said to me. And the fear just said, whew, it just left. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, I specialize in it. So, I mean, I just trust him. Amen. Amen. I trust him. I'm telling you to trust him. Just trust him. Are we going? Here we go, right here. Verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Tell your neighbor, say, the carnal mind is enmity. Enmity can also be translated an enemy. You ready? It is against God. The carnal mind is against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Why am I teaching you this? Because I want you to get out of carnal thinking. Here's what the Lord is giving me to release on Sunday. Because when we talk about the mind of Christ or the mind of the anointing, when the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you, with him came God's mindset. When God moved in you, hear what I'm saying? All of him came in you. His way of thinking came in you. The problem is we got to get rid of all that old stuff. Are you hear what I'm saying? See, you got to understand. This is powerful. Do you know why Samson was able to grab that lion and rip it into pieces? Do you know why David, listen to this. Do you know why David was able to grab the bear and the lion and break his jaw and rip it up? David didn't just protect the sheep. David was sitting there probably eating a piece of beef jerky, meditating, one of those psalms he wrote. And he saw that bear and that lion come. The Bible said that David told Saul, he said, I pursued him. I'm telling you something that's high and lofty here tonight. David said, I pursued him. And I caught him and I, ah! I'm trying to show you something here. This is powerful, right? Glory to God. David had no limitations in his thinking. You want to know why? Because he read the law. And he knew that Moses had wrote that Adam gave identity to the animals. You got to catch what I'm saying here. And anytime you give identity to something, it means you have authority over them. I told you I'm giving you some revelation tonight. Holy Ghost showed this to me. So David, he knew that he had power over it. That superior mindset was in him. When did it come upon him? When he was out there in the woods and Samuel said, do you got another son? And he said, well, I got another one. Be out there tending the flock. He said, go get him. Bring him to me. When that anointing poured on him, and guess where the anointing started? Why didn't he pour it on his hands? Why didn't he pour it on his knees? He poured it on his head. You gotta catch that superior mindset came upon him. And all of a sudden he told Saul, he said, Saul, he said, just like I whooped that bear, just like I whooped that lion, he said, I'm about to get this uncircumcised Philistine. He wasn't but 16 years old. Goliath was 9.5 feet tall. Goliath saw him and started laughing and said, I can't believe you're going to send this ruddy kid with a stick to come get me. David said, look here. He started decreeing. He said, I'm going to come over there. I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to feed your body to the birds. And guess what David did? Just like he ran after the lion and the bear, he started running towards him. See, we running from our giant. God wants you to run to your giant. I'm trying to show you something. This ain't no hype session. I'm trying to show you something. When that Holy Ghost came on the inside of you, a superior way of thinking got on the inside of you. That's why Romans said, be ye transformed. Is that good? Yes. I'm trying to tell you something. Glory to God. You want another revelation? I quote this scripture every day, but until the Spirit of God showed me this right here, I never seen it, but I'm just going to give it to you right now. Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. The word Christ means the anointing. He realized that the Spirit of God, there's no limitations. That's why that word all is in there. Man, I'm preaching myself happy. This thing ought to make you cocky. I'm trying to tell you, this thing ought to make you cocky. It ought to make you aggressive. It ought to make you run at your bills. Run at that lying spirit of divorce. Run at anger. Run at bitterness. Run at poverty. Run at sickness. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This thing ought to make us do that. Tell your neighbor, say, I got a superior way of thinking. See, God wants to think through us. I mean, I really can shut this down, man. I really can, because, I mean, if you think about it, think about this. Now we understand why Jesus walked on water. The Pharisees came at him and was like, you being a man, a mere man, are making yourself equal with God. Jesus, man, this is so powerful right here. Remember when he came through the roof? Yeah. And Bible said he saw their faith. It's like Jesus played with them. When I read the Bible, I see it. It's kind of funny. He played with them. The doctors of the law was there. They had their tight neck suits on. And they had them little boxes on their head. For real, studied history. They had boxes and they pulled out scriptures. And they wore big capes over their head to stop them from looking at women. Now, that's why the Bible called them fallen, not the Bible, but Christian history called them fallen prophets. But Jesus saw their faith. God came down and he said, son, thy sins are forgiven. Just like that. Now that's powerful. And then the doctors of law said, wait a minute now. You being a man, you don't have the power to forgive sin. And Jesus looked at him. He said, look here, man. He said, which one do you want me to do? You want me to forgive his sin? He said, but I'm going to add something to it. I'm going to show you the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You want me to forgive him, or do you want me to raise him up out the bed? He said, but so that you might know that man has dominion. Son, get up. Take up. Tell you, I got a superior mindset. I got a superior mindset. Another example, and I'm done. Another example. He was talking to them same old doctors of the law.
You heal somebody on the Sabbath day. According to the law of Moses, you can't do that.
And Jesus said, listen, you don't believe in Moses, because if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me, because he spoke of me. He said, but watch this. He said, I only do the things that I see my father do. When you study that word see, it means to think. Somebody caught what I just said. What was he trying to say? Come here, Aaron. Come on, son. Come on. I love my son. I'm trying to get the six pack like you. Come on. Amen. Amen. But watch this right here. Jesus didn't just have God with him to see what he was saying when he said those things that I see my father do, I do it. I'm trying to get it together because I'm pulling this thing together. Watch what this means right here. It meant that he got so close to God that he was one with him. It wasn't him thinking, it was God thinking through him. You got to catch what I'm saying. He got absorbed in his father. You can sit down now. You catch it? See, we still think that we're with God like this. But the Bible said he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. See, God wants to get us to the place where we're so one with him. So one with him that it's not us talking, but it's him talking. It's not us loving, but it's him loving. It's not us thinking, but it's him thinking. You know, God been thinking through you. You know he been thinking through you. Because every time he thinks through you, that old mindset raised up and said, oh no, I can't do that. You know what I'm talking about. How many, raise your hand, you know what I'm talking about. God will think to you some unlimited stuff. Because God ain't in that little bitty box of life that we done tried to put him in. He ain't in that little bitty box. That's why Jesus said the traditions of man will make the word of no effect. Because those traditions will put God in that. Let's give God some boundaries. We don't want him. Give him some boundaries. We don't want God to be God. But I'm telling you, we are in the day of the saints. I'm just telling you right now. I'm closing my message out right here because I don't want to go into Sunday too much. But we are in the day of real believers. You know what it means to believe? It means to think. You know what it means to think? It means to believe. That's why you have to purposely. Can I give one more scripture and I'm done? One more. Here it is. Turn to Colossians 3. See? Holy Ghost. I'm telling you. Tell your neighbor. Say it one more time. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I have. Come on. A superior mindset. Come on, baby. I got a superior mindset. Amen. See, that's why the Bible said, do not be conformed. See, the world has a limited mindset, an inferior mindset, a small way of thinking. Me and Pastor Gerard was talking last night, Colossians 3. Me and Pastor Gerard was talking last night. This is so powerful. And he was telling me about fear. And he said to me about something that happened with a dog with him yesterday or the day before, whatever. And he finally conquered a fear of a dog. And you know what I mean? And he said something so powerful to me. He said, you know what, Pastor, I discovered? I said, what's that? He said, God don't want no fear in us. And see, the world constantly pumps fear in you. I mean, we got books out. We got fear of man, fear of heights, fear of planes, fear of books, fear of speaking, fear of people, fear of dogs, fear of cats, fear of spiders, fear of this. God don't want any fear in you. How you think Adam was able to name lions and stuff? There was no fear in him. 1 John 4:18 said, perfect love casts out fear. One translation said, it evicts fear. The only kind of fear God wants in you is reverence. And it's not being afraid of, it's being awe of. Reverence for him. Just remember this, more reverence for God, the less fear you have for anything in your life. Because when you reverence God, the other side of the coin of reverence is love. I taught this before. Y'all know that. The other side of the coin of reverence is love. The Bible tells the woman to reverence the man, but he tells the man to love the woman. It take me too long to go into it. That's Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, say, Pastor, love what he do. Man, I could do this all night. I'm telling you, man. Amen. What did I say? Colossians? I'm gonna be done right here. Colossians 3, man, I'm Holy Ghost. I love this, man. I love this. I love what I do. Are you? Amen?
Amen.
I love it. I know I'm called to do this. I love it. Man. You hear what I'm saying? I could preach to a rat with hair on half his body in a dumpster and be happy. Bishop T.D. Jakes said he started off preaching to rabbits. He'd go out in the woods and start preaching to prophets. I told you I tried to raise a squirrel from the dead. Listen, see? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Can I just be a real pastor tonight? See, some of you doing stuff you don't love to do. You know you don't love it. And if you don't love it, God don't love it. God wants you doing what he put you here to do. But it's going to require you faith to step into what he called you to do. Because what he called you to do is unseen and is supported by grace. But when man sets something up for you, you can do it with the work of your hands. Holy Ghost, help me. I'm trying to tell you something, man. See, too many people in the body of Christ doing stuff they don't love to do. See, if you love to do it, guess what? You'll do it for free. That's why you know you don't love it. Because guess what? If they cut the money off, you won't be there anymore. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Now, how do you get into what you know that you're here to do and what you love to do? I'm just bringing out 20 messages tonight, but the Spirit of God is speaking to me. I got to help somebody. You know, how do you get into that? Intimacy. Spending time with God. Church is more important than my job. It's more important than everything else. You know, I took a pay cut. My wife will tell you the truth. I was making like $9 an hour years ago working in the nursing home. And I took a pay cut to work for Pastor Healy. My wife, Julie, I was making like $145 a week pushing vacuums around. I couldn't even take care of my family. But I didn't even care about all of that natural stuff because I saw that man of God. And he was so full of the word of God. And I said, God, I want what he got. I don't want to be out here working for Pharaoh for the rest of my life. I want to be doing something that's meaningful. You hear what I'm saying? But if money is your God, you can't ever step into what God has for you. I'm talking to somebody's spirit tonight. You got to fall in love with God so you can fall in love with yourself and who he made you to be so you can fall in love with what he put you here to do. Glory to God. Whew, I feel anointed. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. You need to tell your neighbor, say, Lord, I need some help. I'm trying to tell you the Spirit of God to help you, but you got to really, really want him. You got to want him, want him, want him, want him, want him, want him, want him. You got to desire him. You got to crave him. You got to love him. You got to pray in tongues. You got to confess the word. You got to speak the word. You got to believe the word. You got to meditate the word. Why do you got to do all that? I'm trying to push you over in the works. I'm trying to push you over into a place where you can understand and know love. The more you know his word, the more you know him. God is love. God is his word. His word is love. The more words you put in, the more love you get in you. Colossians 3, I'm finishing right here. I'm talking to you. Look at your neighbor and point at him. Put your finger in his shoulder. Say, I'm talking to you. It says, verse 1, if you then be risen, seek, somebody say seek. Seek those things that are above. He's talking about the superior mindset where Christ sits at the right hand of God. I'm telling you something right now. There is no deficit in the kingdom of God. Don't come telling me your problems. Hear me. Listen, I'm trying. You know, we spend too much time coaching people with their problems. Your problem is a product of your lack of persistence of pursuing God. Amen. Your problem is a product of your lack of persistence of pursuing God. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying not to be hard on you, but I'm trying to show you something. If you fall in love with him, baby, you ain't got no worries. Amen. If I was to unfold my life to you, I'm not saying my life got more issues and obstacles than everybody, but I was to unfold to you, you'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to pastor no more with my problems. I'm not even going to do that no more. Tell them, say, no more. No more. Amen. Because guess what? Everybody going, the Bishop Butler, this is exactly, I told him, I said, Bishop, I said, them people are talking about me in the city. My wife was sitting right there. He said, son, they're talking about me too. Glory to God. Didn't he say that, Rosie? They're talking about me too. They're going to talk. But if you do what I tell you to do, there is. He don't say there. He said, there is a building for you. And we got the building. Amen. Anyhow, here it comes. Here it go. Verse 2. Set your affection. Circle the word affection. It means mind. Set your mind. You got to get your mind set like flint. Set your mind on things that are what? Above. Not on things that are. See, a lot of times we preach this thing, we thought we was talking about chairs and cars and stuff. He ain't talking about that. He told you where above was. He said where Christ sits at the right hand of God. The right hand speaks of equal authority, equal honor, equal dignity. It's a mindset. He said, put your mind on this right here. Put your mind on this. Set your mind on this way of thinking. Set your mind on this way of thinking. Set your mind on this way of thinking. Get your mind off the earth. People who don't know God got their mind on the earth. They don't know, they don't listen. Earthy people don't know how to create. They only know how to evaluate. But kingdom people can create. See, you and I should be creating and they should be evaluating. I'm just going to tell you, just like this. Kingdom people are thermostats. Carnal people are thermometers. You can tell if you're walking as a carnal person because you always going to be telling the temperature. Are you hear the economy, what it's going through? It's so much racism going on in the country. Black people need reparations. You know, Hispanic people are the modern day slaves. I mean, I'm just being funny. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Pastor telling the truth, shame in the devil. Amen. You know, you are a thermometer, but when you are a thermostat, you walk in and you be like, oh, this ain't God's will. It's kind of chilly in here. You turn it up. Somebody caught that, didn't you? It's too hot in here. You turn it down. You set the temperature. See, we create, Joe. We don't evaluate. We create. We don't evaluate. Carnal people evaluate. They always talk about what's going on. They always want to be up to date on current events. You know what I mean? They always want to know what this one said. You know, and Oprah Winfrey, she carnal. Jerry Springer is carnal. Amen. Them people look for good stories to feed your flesh. But the Holy Ghost wants you to be a creator. I'm telling you, I got a word for you tonight by the Holy Ghost tonight. He wants you to be a creator. God is a creator. He's your father, and he is an, you know what the word father means? He's an inventor, a progenitor, a creator, one who brings into being something what it's originally intended to be. So when the Father is in you, you are anointed to bring things into being. You are a trailblazer. Glory to God. See, I don't know your trail. I don't know your trail that you're supposed to blaze. I really don't know it. And I don't need nobody getting mad at me if you ain't blazing your trail. Come on, somebody say amen. My job is to convict you. My job is to get you persuaded. My job is to convince you by the Holy Ghost that you are who the Word says you are, and you can do what the Word says you can do, but it's your job to access it by faith. It's your job. Amen. Glory to God. It's your job. You got to get on your knees and start crying out to God. The Bible says, whoever call on the name of the Lord, they shall be made whole. They shall be saved, preserved, kept, delivered, freed up. Whoever called, didn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, fat, skinny, ugly, good looking, no matter what she is. If you call on God, guess what? You're going to be delivered. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Come on, stand to your feet tonight. I'm telling you, is that a good word tonight? I want you to say this every day this week. Say it 7 times a day. This ain't no formula, but just say it. Just wake up, and every time your mind starts limiting you, say, I have a superior mindset. You're going to learn, listen, you're going to learn Sunday. Listen. Scriptural confirmation. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Come on, say this. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Come on, say it again. Say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. See, just think of it this way, my brother, my sister. When Jesus moved in, amen, he meant to possess all of us, not just part of us. He didn't just move in so we can just get by with our problems in life. He moved in so he can possess us, because his plan is to possess his earth. Possess his earth. Amen. Amen. Let's just make a confession of faith tonight, because I feel so much faith in the atmosphere tonight. You feel it in here tonight? I feel so much faith. And I just want you to walk out of here tonight, and I want you, man, my God, I'm just going to release it. New levels. New levels. Listen, people want to climb new levels, but we always think carnally and naturally. But that new level is going to first, you're going to first climb it in your mind. You're going to turn the wheels of your mind to where you renovate it and you believe what God says about you and what God says you can do. Amen. And once you get it in here, I told you, once Neo died to his old way and he stood up, there was no limitations. Everything that was an obstacle, he overcame it. Amen. Now, why do I use that movie? Because I believe sometimes the Holy Ghost will anoint somebody to reveal to us what we ain't hearing from him. Amen. Let's make this confession of faith. Say, Holy Spirit. The word says you are the anointing, and that you abide in me, and that you teach me concerning all things. Teach me concerning my health. Teach me concerning my wealth. Teach me concerning my relationships. Teach me concerning my associations. Teach me what I'm here to do, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, the word says, you lead me, you guide me, and you direct me into truth. Therefore, error is exposed and is far from me. I'm governed by you, Holy Spirit. I'm led by you, Holy Spirit. I'm taught by you, Holy Spirit. I'm under the control of you, Holy Spirit. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. Your word says, no good thing will you withhold from them who walk uprightly before you. I am, say this boldly, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things old way of thinking, old mindset, old habits that passed away. I'm beholding, Lord. I'm beholding, Lord. I'm seeing, Lord, that all things are new. Your thoughts are now my thoughts. Your ways are now my ways. In Jesus' name, I have a superior mindset. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.